Alrighty, time for Resonance 104.4, Truth About Markets, Max and Stacey, for 1 hour. We got all the latest scandals, markets, finance, and all that kind of stuff happening around the world, as you know. Our media output is out there. I was on Alex Jones last week, very interesting show, talked about healthcare in America. It's a raging issue. Right, Stacey? What else is going on?
Yeah, I notice every single time somebody dies in an NHS hospital now, that it becomes giant headline news in the right-wing press in America. Person dies in NHS hospital. This will be imported to the U.S. if we have socialized medicine. So it's...
Yeah, well, it gets back to that U.S. fundamentalist thing, you know, that they consider themselves to be all immaculately conceived. They all think that they're Jesus Christ. And they think that they are above the laws of nature, the laws of gravity, laws of aging. They consider themselves to be these big, you know, consumer. It's a combination between a parasite and Jesus. It's Jesusite.
Well, actually, I watched Democracy Now! Yesterday, and I recommend everybody go and watch this episode, democracynow.org. It explains the right-wing movement in the U.S., what you're seeing now with these, you know, people screeching at town halls saying Obama wasn't born in America.
He's immaculately conceived.
No, it's this guy Frank Dobson. He's the spiritual leader, basically, of this entire movement. He basically explains, he's a psychological underpinning of the whole thing. And what he does is, he's not a preacher or anything like that. Basically, he was a talk show host and a child psychologist. And
right, like we've talked about on the show, the psychoanalysis, Freud.
Yeah, but it's different. It's different.
He's psychoanalyst.
Because he was the opposite of what... Dr. Spock said. Dr. Spock was
not a psychoanalyst.
But Dr. Spock said that people should help their child. Like if the child, you know, they shouldn't abuse them. And that they should be gentle to the child in order to nurture them. Well, Dobson has this radio show where he talks about basically abusing the child. And he wrote a book about bringing in corporal punishment. So... this is over the last 20 years, and now his generation, basically the children of Dobson are there, and they've been abused and horribly abused.
But that's psychoanalysis. It's a form of abuse and manipulation.
Okay. Let me continue one more thing, but he's like very physical abuse of these children, and many of the leading right-wing politicians were very abused as children by their parents listening to him. And this is part of the psychology that he wants to abuse these people to create sadomasochists. So they all go looking for a very powerful leader in order to, a father sort of figure, somebody to protect them.
Well, that's what Naomi Wolf said about the, we made an inference with Dick Cheney, didn't she? In regards to those sadomasochistic sex tapes that were never released from Guantanamo and these other prison, Abu Ghraib.
Exactly. Well, so this is what he said is the psychological underpinning of the right-wing evangelical movement. Max Blumenthal is the writer of this new book, Republican Gomorrah, it's called. Because, of course, as he shows, it's like you see it looks like Gomorrah from the outside. You see all these weird sex scandals with like Larry Craig or Ted Haggart. All these married, focus on family sort of politicians that get caught with prostitutes.
All right, so what's the deal with the liberals then? Because they've obviously been raised by some dysfunctional approach as well. I mean, the problem with liberals is that they're completely ineffective. They're completely passive. I mean, Barack Obama has been able to do nothing. I think he's running for an Emmy Award to be a lookalike of a president. Looking like a president. I don't even think he knows he's in the White House. Does he really? I mean, he's doing the photo ops. He's worse than Reagan. He's shamelessly photo opping. He hasn't lifted a finger. He's got to be the laziest president ever in the history of the Republic. He hasn't done a thing. Now, was his? I don't think his parents were abusive. He doesn't suffer from this Christian abusive supremacist psychoanalytic rot of the brain. He's got another disease that the liberals have, you know, over there in liberal land. Has anyone fingered that yet? Anyone identified that yet?
Well, perhaps it was the opposite. Dr. Spock, they were all raised by, and everybody should feel good.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Dr. Spock approach was what? Give the kids a lollipop and or clean their ears or teach them how to wipe themselves? I forget what the whole Dr. Spock. How was it different than
it was
pre-Dr.
Like,
Spock?
Well, if your kid is having a tantrum on the floor.
Yeah.
Dr. Spock says, pick him up and hug him.
Yeah.
Frank Dobson says, pick him up and beat the crap out of him. Beat him to within an inch of his life.
Right. Okay. So now with this information, which is certainly, I think, good information, it describes the neocon, you know, the conservative supremacist, you know, black shirting, brown shirting, golf shirting psychopath that roams the halls of Washington and Capitol Hill. So what is the anecdote? How does it, because in other words, you would think that if it's Dr. Spock versus what is it, Dr. Kevorkian or
Dobson?
Dr. Dobson, you know, who Dr. Dobson is beating the stuffing out of Dr. Spock at the moment. So who's going to step into the ring with Dr. Dobson? You know, who's got the program to defeat Dr. Dobson? Or is the country just going to go into this sick cycle, as Naomi Wolf has described it, just torture for sexual jollies type of thing we saw with Cheney?
Well, I think if you look at what the study showed about market trading, they found that mentally, you know, disturbed people trade better than normal people.
Well, yeah, it's a lack of empathy increases your returns.
Exactly.
On your trading, because the second you start to have some kind of sympathetic or empathetic reaction to, let's say you're buying stock in a defense contractor and you know that the money's going into murdering and genocide of innocents, you might step away from that investment and give up on the upside potential of that investment. And I've had that problem myself. I mean, obviously, when the Iraq war started, the Halliburton was a great investment. It was a 400% mover, or a four-bagger, as Peter Lynch used to say. But it's really tough to put your money to work in genocidal stocks. You know, we started the Gulag Wealth Fund Index to keep track of these stocks that benefit from psychosexual, Christian, supremacist, nightmarish nincompoops in Washington. We've got the Corrections Corps of America, which is a corporate-owned prison system that turns the minority and the poor into chicken feed. And you saw that story last week about actually grinding up live chicks to create chicken feed. Pretty soon that's going to be Americans in those grinding machines to make feed for the chickens, to make chicken feed, to make corn syrup, to make more hamburger syrup. And it all ends up, unfortunately, on the slaughterhouse floor, or the slaughterhouse five. As Kurt Vonnegut. Where's Kurt Vonnegut? He's dead, huh? Gee. Him and Gil Scott-Heron. You know, these guys are really good social commentators, but they're not around anymore.
Well, Gil Scott-Heron is still alive, but
he seems like he's in a drug coma.
Well, and then so the overriding quality he was pointing out to the evangelical political movement is anger.
Right.
So they're all very angry, abused children. And
the children of abused children grow up to abuse their children, right? I mean, that's a standard pattern.
Yeah. So they are looking for... So they were brought up being beaten anytime they cried. So they look at the global stage and they see victims of like a drought and they want to beat them. They want to abuse them that's how they are trained to respond.
Yeah, and I made this point, you know, on television last year, you know, and everyone was jumping on me, you know, saying I was being outrageous. But this is exactly what I said last year in reference to, you know, Israel. I mean, they grew up, they escaped the ghetto to create a ghetto. So they were abused 60 years ago, and then they're the abusers today. That's clearly, it's a psychological problem. And it's the same people who support Israel, who support this healthcare, you know, nightmare, who are just sick people who need, you know, to be in a hospital, not running the show in Washington.
Yeah, but the thing about this is that apparently this was like an intentional political maneuver. I mean, it was they fostered this abuse in order to create a political movement.
Right, and it's a political movement of depraved, sexual, violent neocons, which are not shy about confiscating wealth. When Hank Paulson goes before Congress and he says, look, if you don't give me $700 billion, I'm going to have these Christian supremacist psychopaths beat the stuffing out of you in the back room and maybe put a bullet in your head. You know, the Congress gets all weak-kneed and lily-livered and say, okay, we'll give you your money, Hank Paulson. We know you. You're the king of the psycho-sick neocon Christian supremacist nightmare shock troops. We'll give you your money. Of course he's going to give, you know, so they've got these quivering jelly, like the Nancy Pelosi's of the world, who are like peeing on herself, hiding under her desk, while the Hank Paulson's mobilizing the shock troop of Christian supremacist violent thugs to get whatever they want. They're just stealing the wealth. You see, unemployment rate is up again last week. The true unemployment rate's over 16%. Wages are collapsing. The economy's sinking into the muck. And yet no one on Capitol Hill is doing anything. Barack Obama's asleep. He's having his photo taken again. He's got to be the worst. He's much worse than Bush, because at least Bush, you knew that the guy was bad and you could kind of navigate around it. But this guy, you know, he's a pimp, isn't he? He's like one of those pimps uptown, you know, with the velour Cadillac seats and the pink fedora, driving around, you know, really smooth. You know, he knows all the cops and... You know, he's down, man. It's like Superfly in the freaking White House. And is that what really America needs right now? Or would America benefit from having like a tough administrator who's going to take on the lobbyists and the special interest groups and get rid of the sick sexual Christian supremacist nightmare that's plaguing the country? Of course, it's worse for people who actually live there.
Yeah, but it's impossible because the likes of Murdoch are on the press. And any time, you know, everybody, even the...
the page three Murdoch, you know, he got rich, you know, showing women's breasts, you know, to breast... You know, after World War II, all that rationing in Britain and all these guys were lonely and they're all sitting home in their bedsits. And here comes Rupert Murdoch with page three, full frontal nudity. Ooh, la-dee-da, let's do whatever this guy tells us to do. Let's put in Margaret Thatcher! More page three, more breasts, you know, and all because they're just, you know, they're lonely after World War II. They just had living on ration coupons for like 5 years, living in the subway like rats. And finally they see a nice pair of boobies and they're like, oh, we'll vote for Margaret Thatcher. Thank you, Rupert Murdoch.
Well, that seems to be the case. He also does, you know, he leads the pack of the right-wing press, which just, if there's anybody... like a Dennis Kucinich, who were to reasonably, you know, be in position to become, to be elected as president, they would just find some dirt on them or, you know.
Well, they make dirt up, you know, and if they deny it, they have their shock troops go in there and threaten his family or threaten him violently. I mean, this is the black shirt, brown shirt, golf shirt trifecta of violent oppression by a troika of power-mad Wall Street bankers, corrupt politicians, and really fat, dumb people who studies show that obese people are stupid. So why not give, right? That's the study from a week ago or so. Obese people have less in terms of mental faculty. So is it any wonder that the Wall Street fat cats and the corrupt politicians in Washington force feed glucose and high fructose down people's gullet like ducks on a foie gras farm? Because the fatter they get, the stupider they get. Of course, it's easy to pass all kinds of things in that mix. And, you know, I noticed that the Wall Street bonuses are at all-time highs. The bonuses in the city are at the all-time highs. And people can't fight back because they're too fat.
Well, another study out over the course of the last 2 weeks when we weren't here was that... bankers at the bailed out banks, the government subsidized banks or the government owned banks, are actually making 40% more than non-government backed banks.
Right. Okay. If you beat somebody and you whip them and you torture them, they'll think black is white, up is down, left is right, And if you say, I'm going to beat you to within an inch of your life and torture you like Guantanamo, Abu Ghraib, I'm going to have the American Psychiatric and Psychoanalytical Association watching and taking notes and sanctifying my torture of you. And when you come out of this mess, I'm going to show you a banker that robbed all your money, and I'm going to give him a 40% bonus, and you're going to applaud like a seal on crack in the zoo of your own dysfunctional brain. And that's what you've got now. And enjoy it while you can, because the next step is permanent electroshock, psychotherapy, Thorazine, adult, peeing in your pants, gutter life.
Hey, you know the other thing, when I watch what's happening in the U.S. with all these, like, every week there's just another, like, stampede of these people coming from nowhere who are stampeding against some sort of, item or not. You know, one week it's like, oh, Obama's not born here. The next week it's like, oh, we don't want healthcare. The next week it's, oh, you know, we don't want to pay taxes. The following week it's, oh, you know, we're angry about something else. So it seems to me like this notion in America, you don't have it here yet in the UK, because there's not the same sort of payouts in the courts. But in America, you'll often have a situation where, you know, somebody runs in front of your car in order for you to hit them so they can sue you. You know, they'll jump on your car to make it look like you hit them.
Mm-hmm.
And you may have seen this in some 70s films. It started really in the 70s, I guess, 70s or 80s. And that kind of seems what the political movement is they're now like pretending, you know, they're falling in front of a politician and saying, ah, you hurt me. Ah, you know, and creating this fake political turmoil.
Well, that's the Dr. Spock, fight back against the other doctor.
Dr. Dobson.
Dr. Dobson. So the Dr. Spock generation, their fight back against Dr. Hobson.
The other way around, I think.
You know, they're falling in front of the train and saying, we need to get bailed out. Instead of fighting back, they're allowing themselves to get hit by cars and trucks and things like that, the political equivalent, and saying we need to pay out. So they know that they're getting ripped off, but instead of fighting, they're getting themselves hit by cars looking for a big payout. You know, and the healthcare thing, you know, is ridiculous, because in America, people will stampede into a Walmart to get a $2 off a snow shovel, and people will actually die in the crowd to stampede into a new Walmart or a new IKEA. People will kill each other if they think that their neighbor has stolen a gallon of gas worth $2. Okay, so they're very price conscious in America. They love a bargain. They're willing to kill their neighbor to save a buck on gas or a dollar on a snow shovel on Chinese slave-made Walmart good. But when it comes to healthcare, they want to pay double, triple, quadruple what every other civilized person in the world pays for their healthcare. And this is an amazing triumph of this sick, psychosexual, Christian supremacist mind screw that has turned ordinary people that would be ordinarily looking for a bargain into the complete opposite, because they have their reason beaten out of them. They think that paying triple and quadruple for healthcare is the right thing to do to help them stay healthy and stay solvent. So clearly they're pursuing their right to be abused. And that's different than, let's say, pursuing a right for free speech or the right to assemble or any other of these civil rights or human rights. In America, they're beating each other for the right to get abused by corporations. And the corporations, of course, are maximizing and exploiting this psychoanalytical Edward Bernays, nephew of Freud, inventor of public relations. He inherited from Dr. Goebbels and the Nazis' use of propaganda, which was based on psychoanalysis. And remember, the Nazis that didn't go to the Nuremberg trial, who knew something about rocket science, were, you know, shuttled into the American rocket program, and they were responsible for America's race with Russia to land on the moon and all these other things. That was all Nazis. So there was these Nazis at the top of America's scientific infrastructure right there in Washington. Now they bring in Freud, they bring in Edward Bernays, they bring in propaganda, they rename it public relations, and now they've got the same people, the same group of people, the same sick, Third Reich, except now it's the Fourth Reich, led by Obama, and they're doing all kinds of experiments on people's brains to get them to believe that paying triple for healthcare is a really good idea. And millions of golf shirts believe it is a good idea.
Speaking of Nazis, I guess, is there was this week in the U.S., they said that this doctor's group, this doctor's a medical charity or some sort of justice, medical justice group, they've determined that U.S. American doctors have been involved in experimentation on patients, which is illegal, in the Guantanamo Bay.
Well, it wasn't in Germany in the 30s, but continue.
At the various U.S. And CIA torture sites. So what happened is apparently, because the U.S. hadn't waterboarded people before this, they didn't know how to do the procedure, really, without killing somebody, or how to cause the most pain and the most suffering. So there were detailed medical notes taken on behalf of by the doctors on behalf of the CIA agents who were doing this. And so they were monitoring over the course of many, many, many weeks how to exactly precisely apply waterboarding and other forms of torture to best achieve the results they wanted. So apparently, according to the law, this is called medical experimentation and is obviously against the Geneva Convention.
Well, look, I mean, Obama, Barack Obama, he needs to be less like Gordon Brown and more like James Brown. I mean, I supported Barack Obama during his candidacy, and I was under the impression that this guy was a bad, that he was going to come in, undo the Bush signing orders, revert some of the rights to the people that were taken away from them under Bush, and yet he's only made the situation much worse. Somebody has described him basically as a sheep in wolf's clothing, which I think is an apt description.
Okay. Yeah, well, it doesn't hurt having these stampedes of people falling in front of his car everywhere he goes. So it looks like he's a maniac driver who's running over everybody. So he looks like a wolf.
Well, I don't know. I mean, those are Secret Service men. They're drunk, obviously.
No, it's these town hall meetings everywhere he goes. Like, people are, jumping in front of his car. So it just looks like, he's the safest driver, driving like 10 miles per hour under the speed limit, but people are jumping in front of his car everywhere he goes. So he looks like a maniac, out of control driver.
I missed that. I didn't realize that the people were jumping in front of the president's motorcade trying to get an insurance payout.
Well, no, they're trying to get attention to their freaky causes.
That's what free speech has become in America. Get run over by the president's motorcade so that you get 5 seconds on Bill O'Reilly's show, so that he can abuse you in public forum before Glenn Beck, takes you out back and does his whatever he does to people. Yeah, well, As I said, I was giving Obama a chance. I figured, why be the turd in the punch bowl leading up to his election, even though a lot of people were already basically consigning this guy to the dustbin of history. Alex Jones being, of course, a guy who made the Obama deception. I thought that was a bit premature. I thought that was a bit, unfair. The guy hadn't even taken office yet. I was blind to the fact that all the people he was putting into office were the exact same people that were already there. I thought, well, he just needs to get in office and then he'll start to get rid of these old cronies. And I was wrong. So although there are people who think he's a waste of time and are unhappy and his popularity is very low, the people who really were supporting him and now don't support him anymore, those are probably the angriest people, I would think.
Well, there's two other stories that relate to this that happened over the course of the last few weeks while we were off the air. And that is, first of all, going back to this notion of an Obama deception, I think it's partly self-deception, too, is that, you find out information about people via the media. They're supposed to do some research and background checks. Now, it was only via John Pilger, who gave a speech in San Francisco in the last few weeks, where I learned that Obama actually used to work for Business International, which is a CIA front company.
Right.
That was his first job out of Harvard.
Mm-hmm.
So I had never, ever, ever heard that. And I've never heard it. I haven't seen it discussed in the left-wing blogosphere or on Huffington Post since. So John Pilger dropped that bomb, and then nobody's ever mentioned it.
Well, you know, I used to joke on this show during Obama's candidacy. I used to say, he's the black Jesus. Okay? I used to say, it's the black Jesus. It's the black Kennedy. And
the first Jesus was black, too.
Right. Well, that's another show. And I think I even heard Alex Jones finally admit that the Jesus one was black, which was kind of a reversal for him. But the thing is that I used to joke about it and say, this guy is the black Jesus. You know, his adoration is so off the charts high, you'd think it's the second coming of Christ, etc. But I think that actually now that we're seeing him in office for a while, I think his position is that he is from an Immaculate Conception, that I think he does believe he is the black Jesus, and I think he believes that he does walk on water. And I think that he believes that he doesn't even actually need to get up in the morning and go to work. I think he thinks that if he just thinks a thought like goodness and faith will be bestowed upon the people, that's all he needs to do. And then he can go down and play some basketball or do whatever he does to pass the time of day. Now, or golf, I guess he's picked up golf so he can be more comfortable with the white lobbyists, of course. You know, golf is not exactly a game they play on 145th Street. When I was living in Harlem, nobody played frickin' golf. You know, they used to wear those caps and said, I'd rather be skiing, but it was all very ironic, you know. And nobody was playing golf. You know, as a matter of fact, I used to play golf in Pelham at a public course, and I remember on the 15th fairway, all these kids from the local community stormed the golf course and stole our golf clubs. You know, there's these four white stockbrokers sitting around trying to figure out what kind of penalty that, you know, is that a one-stroke penalty, a two-stroke penalty? Ruffian, steal your golf club. I'm going to take three strokes for that. You know, so I mean, that's about as close as you get to golf. Now, I had this whole package, I would say. I call it a package of Obama Christ material, which, you know, I've been sitting on for a year, you know, but now I'm ready to open it back up again, because the guy is proven now to be a complete, the only thing, there's only two things that I see that are in any way could be considered, you know, like he was actually present on those days. One, okay, he put this Sotomayor on the Supreme Court, this Latina woman, and I thought that was really interesting. She's just really qualified, and it seemed like she'd be a good counterbalance to a couple of those other Supreme Court justices who were clearly, you know, in the pocket of the neocons. It seemed to me, anyway. I thought that was an interesting move. The other thing that he seems to be doing is he seems to be pushing back against Israeli push settlement expansion, which is much needed, of course, because you're not going to have peace in the region until they shut those Caterpillar tractors down and stop bulldozing, you know, the Rachel, whatever, Corey's down, you know, white girls, bulldozing them on behalf of the developers. You know, and I made
But also, like, the Palestinians, Max, are shooting Palestinians every day. Yesterday, there's a fantastic clip from the West Bank, maybe on Gaza Strip, but there's a weekly, every Friday, there's a protest, right? The Palestinians go there to protest the hate wall being built. And and every week, the Israelis go there and shoot tear gas at the peaceful Palestinian
protest.
Well,
they have golf courses, so they do this tear gas.
Yeah, so this yesterday Al Jazeera was reporting live from there. So they have this live, you know, clip of the live coverage on YouTube, and the Israelis shoot tear gas at the journalist, and she screeches falls off camera, and she's like, "Oh, we just got hit by." Comes back up, "We just got hit by tear gas." And then the person and the woman in the studio was asking her, can you see who shot it?
Right.
And then she looks over there at the Israeli soldiers, and then they shoot right at her again. And she's like, well, clearly they don't want us to be reporting here. And I mean, the guys are like, you know, 50 meters away. They're really close to her. So they were just intentionally shooting at her.
Right. Well, you know, return to the top of the show. In Washington, it's run by the children of a child psychoanalyst who believes in torturing and beating your children. They're now running the government. Who is running Israel? The people who grew up in that generation, who were the victims of a Holocaust, who are now perpetrating a Holocaust. Exactly as an adult child of an abusive person grows up to abuse their children. Now, why is nobody pushing back against this psychopath, ghetto-building, psychotic Israeli government? Because they themselves are afflicted by the same psychological disease. But Obama says that he wants to stop them from pushing the settlements, and he apparently is having some kind of showdown with the folks over there. So, I mean, is it just basically he's going to cave at the last second and say, well, I tried, but, you know, in order to win the war on terror, I had to let, you know, Israel become terrorists even more than they are currently terrorists.
Yeah, is it the fact that...
we need a dog in this race in the Mideast. We need 5 million terrorists in Israel to fight the, you know, all those terrorists in the Mideast. Israel's our pet terrorists. You know, we say go, they go. You know, we need terrorists too.
Yeah, or was it guilt for the previous few decades? Like, Europe wasn't able to say anything against it, really, because, you know, they felt responsible for the whole Holocaust. And in the U.S., you know, you've had the Bush presidency for the, you know, the Bush family dynasty for many years, and they were heavily involved in the Nazis, and, you know, America didn't come in until the last minute because they were friends with
it. When Israel was created, I mean, it was, remember, there was the kibbutz and it was communes, and
yeah,
it was a peaceful area of milk and honey and olive trees. But I think they themselves have been allowed to be misused by Christian supremacist psychopaths in Washington to become jihadis.
That's what I said about Frank Dobson, is like their political agenda was to specifically target abused children.
That's Israel.
So
it's the quintessential abused child of a nation.
No, so they use psychoanalysis techniques to rile them up into anger, and that's why you see that they can immediately rile up everybody's anger. But now I'm going to go on to one more thing about this that fits in with this, and we may have talked about it just before we left for vacation, but there was a story a few weeks ago as well in the U.S. which just everything, like you said, is right is left, left is right, up is down, and there's no sense. And that is one of these very well-known right-wing shock jocks of internet sort of radio, and famous for, you know, attacking the so-called liberal left and feminazis and all these things, was this guy named Hal Turner.
Yep.
And it turns out that this shock jock host, who is constantly being written about, especially in the left-wing press, is like, oh my God, shocking, these people are evil. This right-wing people are evil. Well, it turns out he was basically an FBI agent. He worked for the FBI.
Yeah.
And he tried to basically entrap people. So he would try to, you know, he would, I guess, send the correspondence from angry listeners who were ready to top some judge that this guy talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And that he would forward that to the FBI. Now, the other thing that fits in exactly like this, everything manufactured in the U.S., everything is artificial, is it turns out that a lot of the people at the town hall meetings against healthcare were actually health insurance employees.
I said that.
I know you talked.
I said that.
Yeah.
They're golf shirts. I said that.
And now it turns out Greenpeace has been given this internal email or internal memo from an oil company where they're planning on doing the same thing for these climate change debates. They're also recruiting people to go in there and, like, jump in front of the car, pretend to be injured, pretend to be outraged.
Yeah, well, okay, this is a tried and true technique, and so I'm not surprised to see it. And the problem with Hal Turner, or the situation with Hal Turner, of course, is that he is being paid to create seditious behavior in the population so that it's easy for the police to round these people up and throw them in jail, and he gets immunity, of course, because he's working with the police to entrap people in a highly illegal manner. But that's why, you know, on my show, and when I talk about these issues, like Israel, for example, you know, my solution is always about love. And that's why I'm suggesting that there's an armada of folks from around the world who sail to Israel now and embrace Israelis with a warm hug and a kiss and try to jumpstart love in that country again, like it was in 1948. It was born
so
out of love.
You sound like Dr. Spock.
Yeah, I want to jumpstart their love and get their love going again, because they've become probably the most hateful, spiteful, corrupt country. And, you know, obviously with Switzerland closing down all their money laundering, you know, where is it going? It's going to Tel Aviv, baby, money laundering center. And you got Warren Buffett there. Remember last year we talked about he put that $4 billion into that metal works company, and then 2 weeks later they bombed Lebanon, and oh, they bombed all of the competition to the metal works factory. So they're just mercenaries for hire by Warren Buffett, the U.S., the Pentagon. You know, it's not their nature. I believe that they're peaceful people. They're people of peace. They need Jesus Christ. They need Jesus Christ, who brings a message of love. You see, the New Testament comes after the Old Testament. The Old Testament, the Hebrews were, you know, it's a story. They're in the desert, and they're making their way out of the desert. It's tough times, and then there's the Book of Numbers. If you ever read the Old Testament, they got the Book of Numbers, which is like a huge shopping list. If you read, we went across the desert. We needed 5,000 urns of olive oil. We needed 50,000 sacks of, you know, bread. It's like this huge shopping list. I don't even know why the Book of Numbers is in the Old Testament. It's like somebody just put their shopping list in there. It's a complete waste of time. Then you got the New Testament, which is like, yeah, and then we figured out it was all about love, baby. It was all about love, you know? And if Obama's going to be playing the pimp game, like some 70s pimp up in 145th Street, you know, he should be talking about love, not talking about, you know, bombing this people, increasing the Afghani war. You know, you got more Afghans being murdered now. Iraq's still boiling over. You know, he should be talking about that love, smooth, Dr. Smooth. You know, he should be put on the purple velour fedora and driving that pink Cadillac and talking about love, baby, because love is going to triumph. Love is going to bring us back to where we need to be.
They're bringing to the UK, they're going to adopt this sort of U.S.-style politics.
Of course, because they don't have a brain. They can't think of an original thought, especially that suppository salesman David Cameron.
Well, he's in on this.
Frickin' schmata.
Apparently, they're going to bring these U.S.-style debates here, and Cameron and Clegg.
What kind of debates? Every Wednesday, they have a debate in the House of Commons at the dispatch box. What are they going to bring in? Some stupid American version where they get, oh, I get it. Is Fox News is selling ads? Is it a Murdoch thing?
It's I don't know who's going to do it, but it's going to be on television, and it's going to be, you know, like just two people standing at a podium and a moderator asking them questions.
Didn't I see that Let's Go Dancing or something?
Strictly Dancing.
Strictly Dancing? Strictly Speaking. With some freaking corrupt Tory versus a George Mobiot from hiding under his desk. Oh, that sounds exciting. Brought to you by Fox News. Brought to you by Rupert Murdoch. Stay tuned for more breasts.
That's right. So they're going to bring that here. That should be exciting, and hopefully you'll see.
I see that
you have your own groups of people jumping in front of the Cameron bicycle.
Yeah, but I think
bicycle.
Those British people jumping in front of lorries and buses, they're not getting the insurance payout. They're just genuinely trying to kill themselves.
Well, that's funny. But so I guess the UK is also hosting the G20 finance ministers are coming again. It seems like they're like, why is the UK always hosting these finance ministers? It's like they're meeting
because they're maitre d's.
Freaking...
They're natural maitre d's. That's what the hedge
they're
fund
butlers.
Industry is. They're butlers and maitre d's. They're Jeeves. You know, that's what the hedge fund industry is, basically your butler taking out your financial garbage. And they do that in London. That's why the hedge fund industry was focused in London for so many years, because Jeeves, the hedge fund butler, takes out your derivative garbage and they throw it onto the public coffer, and the you know, the British taxpayer ends up paying for it. And this is what they're good at. You know, the table will be set immaculately. You know, they'll probably have a message from the Queen saying welcome, welcome, welcome. She gives that crazy hand wave that's half one way, half the other way. You know, that royal hand wave, which is like at some angle that doesn't really exist in the natural plane of existence. And then they'll bring out the prince and the prince's prince and the prince's butler, and they'll all do a little jig and make nice, nice to the Irish. And, you know, then they'll drink a big, hearty, stout beer.
So they're Alistair Darling is going to try to convince all these finance ministers of these 20 nations to keep the money flowing, to keep printing money, because he's afraid, especially of the Germans, of course, that they're going to turn off the spigot. And he thinks that we'll just sink the world back into collapse.
Look, the unemployment rate is still skyrocketing, and wages are still collapsing. All this money is doing, and all this units of exchange, it's not money. It's not money. It's units of exchange that are being counterfeited by central governments as a way to bail out bad bets by the crony capitalists and Wall Street bankers and the City of London of bankers who got caught on the wrong side of a huge, massive bet in the bond market that blew up 2 years ago. Okay, don't call it money. You know, that's a disgrace, because there is only two genuine forms of money, and that is gold and silver, which incidentally, gold and silver were up again last week. Gold, you know, crucially is hovering just under that $1,000 an ounce level. And, you know, if in fact there's going to be a coordinated intervention to get the U.S. dollar up off its butt, you know, and they can, if they can engineer a move above 80 on that index, then, you know, they can engineer a move to 90 on that index. Just like when Citigroup was down to a buck and going out of business, the U.S. government started to buy shares in Citigroup. If they can get it over $5 a share, then legally pension funds can buy Citigroup because it's over $5 a share, and then the stock will go to $10 a share. So if they can get the U.S. dollar above 80 on the index, it could very quickly get to 90, which means that gold would not have gotten through this $1,000 an ounce level. And then you've got what you could look at on the charts as a massive double top, which is not good at all. Now, going forward, I'm believing that you're going to see this move above 1,000. But we know that with from our friends at Gata, and other sources, that the Goldman Sachs of the world, the JP Morgans, are heavily naked short selling this contract on the COMEX. They're doing everything they possibly can. They're manipulating these markets in ways that were completely unheard of even 12 months ago. You know, during all the post-Hank Paulson bailout money phase, they have brought about all new manner of manipulating these markets. For example, as you brought to my attention last week, FDIC is now allowing individuals to buy up huge portions of these bad banks with, I guess, an FDIC backing.
Yeah, private equity companies can buy failed banks in America, and the FDIC will back 80% of the bad assets, the assets on the book.
So this is pure moral hazard in a way that was you would never imagine that would be possible. You know, if you go back into the history, the Securities Act of 33 and 34 and everything that happened after the crash of 29 and all the safeguards that were put in place. I mean, those safeguards have been totally obliterated, and they've put in new ways of laddering these markets, manipulating these markets, putting all kinds of algorithmic trading, which is the new thing. You know, this is new from, we didn't have this in the 20s and 30s, but algorithmic trading, high frequency trading, which is basically banks on Wall Street entering the market and putting on 10 to 20 times more of the volume than would naturally be there as a way to seize control of the whole market-making function, which, you know, I know something about this because I invented the virtual specialist technology, which was sold to Cantor Fitzgerald, and they use it to trade bonds on Wall Street, and it's a virtual trading system, and it's algorithmic trading, so I know something about it, and I can tell you that it's just pure market manipulation in the form of targeting prices and then setting the threshold that constitutes an uptick or a downtick based on an imbalance of volume to levels that will direct the price toward a predetermined price objective. And so Goldman Sachs can say, if they want gold to go to 950, then they can set the ratio of imbalance it takes to generate a downtick in that market to less than it was, let's say, an hour before. So suddenly, the sell order that would have had a minimal impact on generating an order imbalance and a sell order and a price discovery that was lower than the previous price is now double or triple weighted. So you're weighting.
Well, yeah, in the commodities this past week, I saw on Gata.org actually that apparently the CFTC introduced some limits on the amount of long positions you can hold in commodities, including gold. But there's no limit on the amount you can short.
Right. Okay, that's a kind of a crude way to just manipulate the market, you know, using the position limit thresholds to, but that's, you take that idea and you bring it down to the actual price discovery mechanism within the market. So, and if you're weighting the amount of orders it takes to affect an uptick or a downtick in a way that would give more weight to each individual sell order versus the buy order, then you can engineer a price direction. And this is what they do. This is what high-frequency trading is all about. You go in there and you seize control of the price discovery mechanism, and then you put on these algorithmic trades and you steer prices in the way you want them to go. So if Goldman Sachs wants gold to go to 950 next week and then to 850 the following week, that's where it's going to go. So this is, on a fundamental and technical basis, I would say gold's going higher. It's going above 1,000. But, you know, that's it's up to Goldman Sachs. It's not up to Mr. Market. It's up to Goldman Sachs. I mean, Goldman Sachs, if they're long gold and they're ready to take gold and the partners will benefit from gold going higher, it'll go higher. But, you know, given the fact that they're in bed with all of the crooked banks around the world who are basically against gold going higher, you know, that's a huge obstacle to overcome. And the fact that you've got all these day traders coming in and buying gold at these late prices and silver at these high prices, it just makes it very, remember, they also have total visibility into all retail and institutional orders. Goldman Sachs sees all the orders that are coming over the tape. These are not blind orders. They know every order that's coming across the tape. They know who's buying, who's selling, what they sold to buy, what they bought to sold, why they're buying, who they represent. And they see a lot of mom and pops coming in and buying GLD or these ETF gold things. They're going to go long, milk them for 10, 20, 30 bucks, and then open the trap door. Sayonara, you're toast. Then there's going to be a huge gut-wrenching vomiting of those positions. You quickly get muddy and bloody and horrid. But it's up to Goldman Sachs. We live in an oligarchy. It's not a free market. The price discovery has been seized. It's been a coup d'etat, financial coup d'etat. Hank Paulson's a financial terrorist. I've said it on many shows all over the world. I've said it on this show first. This term financial terrorism is being used more and more to describe what's going on. And they ask who first came up with it. Who first came up with it? Who first uttered this phrase? It was me. It was me. You, Residence 104.4 listener. If anyone asks you who first uttered that phrase, you know the truth. It's me.
Yeah, well, you were named as people were saying who uttered the phrase first, and it was either you or Marcy Kaptur, the congresswoman. But there's, speaking of financial terrorism, there's a financial war going on, and I don't know if anybody is aware of what has happened in the last week, but it involves China. China has said that that basically their banks can cancel any derivatives contract.
Mm-hmm.
So what you see around the world, this global financial collapse, basically it was contract fraud, really. It's these banks like Goldman Sachs, Merrill Lynch, Lehman Brothers, Bear Stearns sold fraudulent contracts. They knew they were bogus and that they would never be met, that the obligations would never be met. So, but they pretend it's like this mystery of the market, and the market decided that the contract we sold you for 100 cents yesterday is only worth one penny today. And they're forcing everybody to make good on their half of the contract. Well, China has decided that that they could renege on any of these contracts, that their banks can renege on the contracts. And in fact, they're now introducing new laws that no further derivatives contracts can be engaged in between a Chinese company and foreign companies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that. They also, I saw they're recalling their gold.
Hong Kong, yeah. Hong Kong has asked for their gold back from London. It's stored in the, you know, the London Metals Exchange.
You put those two stories together, and what do you get? You get a country that's going to possibly get rid of more dollars than they are already getting rid of. If they want their bullion back, and they're shutting down all these derivative contracts and reneging on derivative trades, and they talked about, actually, they said if China reneges on these derivative contracts that are actually associated, if I'm not mistaken, I think I read on Bloomberg that they are, in fact, tied to gold.
Well, they specifically, China specifically mentions the commodities derivatives.
Okay.
And now the other thing that happened this week, I think it was Deutsche Bank, one of these big German banks, withdrew their double long oil ETF. Some oil ETF was withdrawn. So something's going on in the oil market in particular, because all these weird things have suddenly started about commodities trading.
Right. And they speculated that on Bloomberg that if, in fact, China were to renege on these as the counterparty to these commodity-based derivative products, that it would put J.P. Morgan and Goldman Sachs out of business immediately.
Yeah.
So I guess what China has figured out is that it doesn't make any sense to threaten the U.S. government with, let's say, not buying American bonds or supporting the U.S. dollar, because the American government is controlled by Goldman Sachs. So they're not. If you want to really do something effective, you got to go to the source. You got to go to the puppet behind the puppet and the master behind it all, and that is Goldman Sachs and Lloyd Blankcheck. So they're targeting Goldman Sachs directly.
But the other thing I wonder is, is this how it works? Because China's been the center of, over the last 6 or 9 months, massive speculation on commodities in particular, with all this the $1 trillion in new loans issued in China in the last in the first half of the year, that almost all of it went into either the Shanghai market or commodities speculation. A lot of the oil trading, a lot of the copper, all the commodities, and they were able to, even like on the low margin commodity speculation, because of the sheer size of the country and the cheap storage, they were even able to store giant quantities of all this stuff. So they were actually storing things like oil off of China in various warehouses and stuff like that. Now maybe, so what did they pay, like 10 cents for a cup? They're paying less for the contract. Maybe it's a way to get these commodities cheap if they're now just going to renege on those contracts, but they're not going to actually deliver any of the actual physical commodities.
Right. Yeah, well, your introduction is there's financial war going on.
Exactly.
And it's being waged in the futures pits and the commodities pits, because the derivative contracts out there have a nominal value of something like $600 or $700 trillion, and more than a quadrillion were traded last year. And the total GDP of the world is still only $50 trillion. So if you're fighting an old-fashioned war and you pick up a gun and you invade a country and you shoot some guy dead, it's a very cost-ineffective way to wage war, because for the same amount of money, you can control 10 to 20 to 30 times of derivative contracts and really put people out of business. And this is what I suggested with my boycott idea, Karma Bank, through Coca-Cola, and last week on Alex Jones with Whole Foods, is that if you really want to push back against, let's say, the corrupt healthcare industry, you use economic warfare, and you take Whole Foods stock down to below $1 a share, and you basically push them to the wall using economic warfare. And that's the only real way you can gain huge leverage in an economy that's run entirely by fractional reserve banking and fiat currencies. If you utilize the leverage of hedge funds, a multi-trillion dollar industry, to do the work for you by attacking Whole Foods stock, by selling it short based on your organized boycott that's reducing their top line revenue growth, then you can engage in economic warfare and really push that company to the wall. Just like China has figured out that the way to get what they want from America is to engage in economic warfare. Having a standing army of 1 million people is nowhere near as effective in an analog war of guys with guns going across borders, when you can use financial warfare. And they've got trillions in Forex reserve. They've got access to foreign markets. They've got all the derivative contracts. They've got all the whiz kid algorithmic traders that they need to effect a huge financial warfare machine. And obviously now they figured this out. And again, is Goldman Sachs, do they have the firepower? Do they have the credit? Do they have the access to capital to keep gold down below $1,000 an ounce the way that they have now for several years? It's tough. I mean, in order for China to effectively attack Goldman Sachs and Goldman's hegemony over their economy and Goldman's colonialization of the Chinese economy, they have got to bust. They can't afford even to have one turncoat in the Chinese banking system. And remember, Goldman Sachs took People's Republic of China public. So you got to believe that there are some Goldman Sachs people inside the Chinese People's Bank, public bank, that they're in the banking system. And that's very dangerous for China. If China's serious about winning this economic war, they need to call all the Goldman people from their banking system immediately, or you're just wasting your time, and you're wasting my time, because I've got gold, and I'm waiting to go above 1,000. If China, you're going to make it go above 1,000, you've got to get rid of your Goldman Sachs people in your own backyard. And there are plenty there, I'm sure, and you've got to call them. You've got to get rid of them, or you're going to perpetually be finding yourself forced to buy U.S. Treasury bonds, just like you were forced to buy opium during the Opium Wars from the British Empire. You're going to be forced to buy U.S. Treasury bonds from the U.S. Empire. And the only way you can break out of it is to get these Goldman Sachs out of your system. It's a bad, bad virus. You know, America's too late. They've infiltrated our system. It's like we've got this colon parasite sitting in America's collective a-hole, and we're never going to get rid of them at this point. It's terminal. But China, you still have a chance.
Well, that's a good way to put it, honey. You know, I want to mention that Resonance is really seems to be on a fundraising drive. You know, they're selling off all their equipment on eBay to raise money. So that means you out there, you're not doing a good job. You got to donate some money to Resonance. Keep it on the air.
That's right. If you just smoke one less bong hit per week, you can help keep Resonance on the air. That's right.
Really, but you have to tell them to smoke one less bong hit, but take the money they would have spent and send it here.
Well, that's unfortunately, we don't, because everyone's smoking bongs, you don't even need to say that part. You see, they know what the message is, but you're right.
And if, so yeah, you have to keep us on the air, man. And
or they, what, Resonance? I mean, didn't they just buy a new antenna last year? They got a new coat hanger that they stick in the building and all that?
Well, they got rid of the coat hanger and put up a real antenna.
Oh, they stole it from some car in shortage?
No.
Some car's going, you know, beeping in the middle of the night, beep, 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 because the Resonance guy stole the antenna and stuck it on the building there? And
no.
So they can broadcast, you know, all the way up to Highgate?
Well, they raised the money before the financial fraudulent collapse.
Look, so many people in Resonance over the years who listen to us are stinking rich because we told you to buy gold 2 years ago, and it's up 40% last year, gold bullion in British pound terms. You know, these Resonance listeners are stinking rich.
It's more than that. It's now £600. But, you know, I want to say, there's one thing, you know, we were talking about these people jumping in front of cars and pretending they're injured. I think that's a good way to look at the global financial collapse. It's only a financial. I think it's the equivalent of jumping in front of the car. I think if we just ignore them and their derivatives, and all their fake debts, then it'll go away. Don't capitulate to them, and don't believe that they are actually injured.
Well, it gets back to the whole child rearing techniques that we discussed at the top of the show.
We have 5 seconds, so you got to
Up. You know, you can't if you, we'll just have to do that next week. So until then, of course, you know, Max and Stacey, Truth About Markets on Resonance 101. Till then, bye, y'all.